The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. Joining me from Florida is Steve Alkins. It is Monday, folks, 29 October 2018. Let me take one more call here, and I'm going to give you a little bit more to ponder. Mike in Colorado, go ahead.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. With this Pittsburgh thing, I don't usually watch mainstream TV, but they interviewed the mayor on that Chuck Todd's television program, and Chuck Todd, he's got two first names, so I don't trust him, but the mayor said, went through the whole thing, and then at the end he said the families were notified that night. And if it was a BRIS, those families were notified 30 seconds after it happened because everybody in the family was there. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm trying to make sense of what you're saying here. So I excuse me, Mike, I'm either dense or rephrase that and come at it a different way.
I went too fast. The mayor was talking about the process of what was going on, and you know, Trump's going to help him, and the feds are going to help him, and
okay,
blah, blah,
after the fact.
Yeah, okay. And he said the families of the victims were notified that evening.
Okay, the notification of the families, and what is exactly wrong with that?
That if you've ever been to a BRIS or anything involved,
I don't know what a BRIS is. I don't.
You
know,
circumcision. Kids. Circumcision.
Okay, all right.
Or a baptism.
Okay.
If you go to a baptism of a baby,
yeah,
everybody in the family's there.
Right.
He's right. He's
There's
right.
no one to notify.
Okay. Okay, so this is what I'm missing. What's the correlation between a bar mitzvah and what happened at that synagogue?
Is that the mayor tipped their hand by giving you information that couldn't possibly be true.
Okay,
right?
And I don't understand why it couldn't be true that they were notified later that night.
Because
they're
there,
they were
John.
All there.
They're there, John, at a BRIS. They do it.
Okay,
the whole family's
okay.
there.
All right, now that's the part I didn't understand what a BRIS was. So you're telling me that this was a penis chopping exercise.
Correct.
And everybody was there. Okay, so they would have known everybody was there. Okay.
Exactly.
And if your second cousin wasn't there, as soon as you got clear of that synagogue, you'd have called your second cousin and said, holy crap, guess what just happened?
Yeah, okay, now I get it. All right.
Okay, yeah, I apologize. I went a little fast because I don't want to take your time.
Well, when you said BRIS, I've never heard. And Steve, how the hell did you even hear? I haven't heard of that term in my entire life.
I learned about it on a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, great.
So did I, Steve.
Oh, God almighty.
With the Moyle. Shaking
that's right.
the Moyle.
That's
oh,
right.
God. Okay, guys. All right. All right, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, John.
All right, sir. Jeez, Pete. Well, try this one on for size, folks. And J.R. Nyquist, I've interviewed him before. I can trust J.R. Nyquist. He's not a fanatic. He is not a person that likes to color. He doesn't have an ideological bent to him. But this is what he has written in a news analysis. He said, the U.S. government was first penetrated by communist agents back in the 30s. This was documented by congressional investigations and by the authors such as M. Stanton Evans, Herbert Romerstein, Diana West, and former President Herbert Hoover, among others. The communists greatly benefited from the election of President Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. It was Roosevelt who opened diplomatic relations with Moscow, even as he welcomed progressives into the government. Prior to his inauguration, Roosevelt was warned by his predecessors, President Herbert Hoover, about two ongoing Soviet conspiracies, a massive Soviet counterfeiting operation that threatened the U.S. dollar, and an attempt to overthrow the U.S. government by mobilizing angry veterans through the Bonus Army. Now, Hoover's warnings were ignored by Roosevelt, who saw nothing wrong with communism. Evans and Romanstein have pointed out that Roosevelt's recognition of the Soviet Union gave an aura of legitimacy to the communists, helping them create formidable networks of, I guess this is, apparatchiks on American soil. In 1938, a special House Committee on Un-American Activities was appointed under chairmanship of Representative Martin Dees, Democrat out of Texas. When the committee sought to investigate communist involvement with an important labor union, the White House summoned Dees to a meeting with the president. Arriving at the White House, Dees found Roosevelt chatting with Senator John Shepard, Democrat out of Texas. After Dees entered, Roosevelt turned to Shepard and said, "Senator, what are we going to do about Martin?" The senator was confused by the question, so Roosevelt clarified, "You know, all this business about investigating communists is a serious mistake." Roosevelt then told Dees he didn't want any investigations of any kind. The communist infiltration that began in the 30s accelerated, and the United States allied itself with Stalin in World War II. FBI and congressional investigations show that many hundreds of Soviet agents and Communist Party members worked for the U.S. government during the war. In due course, many such pro-Soviet operatives rose to fairly high positions, wrote Evans and Romerstein, which made their alliance to Moscow even more problematic. Under Roosevelt's leadership, communist subversion was bound to thrive. By 1939, the communists had established at least four important, I guess you could call these cells, inside the U.S. government, according to Hoover. These communist informers gained strategic positions in the armed services, in almost every civil department, on the staffs of some congressional committees, and even had access to the White House. Hoover called it an onslaught against the American people. There is detailed information about that because four communist agents came forward as witnesses. These were, in order of importance, Whitaker Chambers, Elizabeth Bentley, Louis Burdentz, and Hetty Massey, or Massing. Not surprisingly, when some of the testimony became public in 1948, notice, almost 10 years later, the U.S. government attempted a cover-up. Rather than expelling communist agents from their sensitive government jobs, the Truman administration wanted to prosecute Chambers for perjury. Meanwhile, Bentley's testimony, which was given to a grand jury over a period of several months, resulted in not a single indictment. The Justice Department, then as now, was more inclined to protect communist subversion than prosecute them. Now, there's no better example of the DOJ malfeasance than the American scandal, which began in 1945. To tell the story briefly, it came to the FBI's attention in a pro-communist magazine, AmeriAsia, had quoted material from classified government documents, specifically from a secret OSS memo. And folks, if we remember, OSS was the precursor to the CIA. Now, the subsequent FBI probe discovered that a State Department official, John Stewart Service, was supplying the magazine with confidential information. When the FBI moved in to arrest three of those involved, investigators discovered more than 1,000 government documents on AmeriAsia's offices. Now, the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, said the case was airtight, but the DOJ, contrary to evidence, took a different view. According to FBI records, two White House officials and several persons at the DOJ manipulated a grand jury to fix the case. Now, grand jury tampering is a serious crime, and Hoover was undoubtedly alarmed. In 1965, Burdentz would explain that Hoover was destined to become irrelevant, that vigilance against communism had become unacceptable to the establishment. Therefore, Senator Joseph McCarthy, a Republican out of Wisconsin, was made to be an example. Who then would be brave enough to stand against the Washington swamp? Roosevelt opened the door to communist subversion, and it has remained open ever since. President Harry S. Truman decried Congress's investigation into the subversion, calling it a red herring. President Dwight Eisenhower didn't want an investigation of the U.S. Army. Perhaps he feared the public would discover that his former deputy, General Walter Bedell Smith, had fallen under suspicion as a Soviet agent while heading the CIA. Like Truman, Eisenhower preferred to hide the truth. President John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert didn't like the security protocols that kept their leftist friends out of sensitive government jobs. The same can be said of President Johnson, Nixon, and Nixon hired Henry Kissinger, but Kissinger was accused by a British double agent of working for Soviet military intelligence. And that is true, folks. Once the communists entered the government, it was too late to fix the problem by normal parliamentary means. An honest person in government isn't on a level playing field with a communist in government. The communist has no moral strictures or scruples and can destroy you with the very power of the office at his disposal. An honest man wouldn't think to abuse his office in this manner. Now, to make matters even worse, the watchdog media is no watchdog at all. Communists have infiltrated newspapers, major television networks, and if someone were to try to blow the whistle on communist subversion today, they would be denounced as a McCarthyist, which they are. The media, to some extent, has twisted the public mind. The lies that have been told with regard to communism and anti-communism are too many to count. The cynical calculation behind these falsehoods is rooted in past success. The communists have fooled the public again and again. And who can stop them? Throughout the government, proper security measures have long been set aside. In the 1960s, those who attempted to hold the line against communist infiltration, like Otepka of the State Department, found themselves prosecuted by that same DOJ that tampered with the grand jury in the AmeriAsia case. In the words of a former CIA counterintelligence expert, James Angleton, quoting him, "I never understood the great advantage the Russians had over us. As Americans, we just hold no real value in secrecy. God, it was such a simple explanation." Now, we want to feel good about our situation, but we ought to feel the sting of shame. We are tempted day after day to falsify and evade. The big lie of our time, of course, is the lie of communism, or rather the many pleasing falsifications that communism promotes. We stand at the brink of an abyss. President Donald Trump is under siege. To understand the why of it, we must first understand the history of communist subversion. The deep state is a communist fifth column, and the communist fifth column is the deep state. Now, J.R. Nyquist, he's been around, wrote for WorldNet Daily, Sierra Times, Financial Sense Online, author of the book Origins of the Fourth War and The Fool and His Enemy, and he is also co-author of The New Tactics of Global War. Folks, I've said this repeatedly. The State Department, it became absolutely obvious back in the 50s what was going on. But then understand, when we have a president, Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, the guy with funny ties coming down from New York, became president of the United States, and he would have been in there for a third term had he not dropped dead. And look at all the wonderful little social programs that he put in place. Steve, draining the swamp, who's taking over the media? Who's got the power structure to control governments, to control commerce? Yeah.
You know, I kind of wonder, he knows the lesson, he made a mistake. He knows right off the bat now that you cannot treat business the same as government, and he should have cleaned house from the very beginning. I think he's realizing that now, and this is almost 2 years now of finding out that he had people that he'd had from the Obama administration on his team now that were basically trying to take him down. He learned a very hard lesson. I'm surprised. I really am surprised he didn't know this. He's treating it as a business, and he is the CEO of the corporation, the United States of America. But in politics, you cannot keep holdovers, people from the prior administration. That was a huge error.
Well, these transition teams that they talk about, it takes quite a while because there are so many people in so many different departments. you got to flip your cabinet. Sometimes you think that, okay, well, this guy knows what's going on. He was here before. At least I can extract information from him that I might find useful. Mm-hmm. I think Donald Trump's problem is he did not understand the depth of the problem because he was never an insider. He was a political hanger-on. He was a donator to both Democrat and Republicans. Whatever benefited Donald Trump as doing business, which everybody else has done in this country, that's what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He stepped into the swamp. He didn't realize it was going to consume him, I don't think.
Yeah, I wonder how far, much farther we would be right now had he just played that hand to clean house, build his team. I wonder where we'd be right now had he just done it right the first time, John.
I think that he'd probably be in a pine box.
You think so?
Yeah. George in Hawaii. Hello, George.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Listen, I know I got a good hint of what's going on, but who is George Soros? Can you help me with that? I'm serious about this. I hear about it, but I don't know who he is.
Who's George Soros? He's a Jew that ground up other Jews to make soap in order to wash himself with.
Hungarian Jew.
Yes.
Very powerful. Billionaire.
Yep.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not joking.
He was involved in the whole... John?
No, he was kidding on that part.
Hello?
Get this George.
Involved with Nazi Germany?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, good reason to hate.
Well,
I'm not.
Okay, George, watch how you throw that. Who's hate?
No, wait. I know we're not supposed to like this guy. I just didn't know why.
George, I'm not here to dictate to you what to do or not to do, but I am shocked that you don't know who the hell George Soros is.
I don't. I don't know.
You must have been hiding in one of those volcanoes down there in Hawaii.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, I know the name, but I don't associate him with anything that's relevant to me or anything that I know.
Well,
about
and just put
history,
put it this way, George. He has been funding Antifa, which supposedly is the anti-fascist, when they are the exact definition, Webster Dictionary definition of fascist.
Right.
He has been giving these people money. He is the one that's funding this horde that's moving toward our southern border. He is part and parcel of the multicultural and changed society game. He is right part and parcel with the globalist elite on the New World Order.
Yes.
Does that help you anymore?
Well, it's maybe I got to Google this guy.
Yeah, maybe you should. Maybe you should. All right.
I really should be more informed, but I'm glad you informed me. Thank you so much, John.
Okay, George, thank you. Keith Rogers out of Montana. Hello, Keith.
Hey, John, I just want to chime in on some. You brought up some good issues there. One, if you remember Reagan, when he says to Gorbachev, tear down these walls, this was the first portion of this so-called massive immigration or the blending of cultures back again. But... excuse me. What's interesting about that?
Well, wait a minute.
This all deals...
Keith, back up here.
Yeah, go ahead.
The blending of what culture? You mean the reunification from Germany once the East Germany was under total control of the communists?
Right. Well, now hear me out on this, okay? This is where it started there with Gorbachev, because right after that he moved to America, and he took up in this military base down in San Francisco, the Presidio.
Right.
And this was all funded and stuff by Nancy Pelosi's and her husband. They're doing this massive land swap deal. They just did another one in New York and another big military base.
Okay.
But this was the first start of the communism here. And Gorbachev at the time couldn't even have done that legally because of immigration status to, for whatever
Keith,
was going
Keith,
on.
Let me check you again that this was the start of communism inside this country.
Well, this all deals at the same time when you have, what's his name, Brennan, and Comey is admitted a communist.
Keith, are you sharing the same volcano with my friend George in Hawaii? This goes before this.
Oh, no, I know that. Father Coughlin talked about this clear back in the 1930s.
Well, yeah. Okay, hang on a second, Keith. Hang on.
Yeah.
We'll be back. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander Lifetime Membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again.
We are back. Okay, Keith, what else you got?
Okay, I hate to take your showtime up here, but I could email this article here, and you'll get more of the picture here, but I want to read three paragraphs to you real fast. His success made him prominent in the Soviet Union. In 1977, Gorbachev appeared on page one of Pravda for the success in agricultural ministry, and in 1978, he wrote the Agitator, this propaganda magazine. And he met President Brezhnev and the secretary. But anyway, it goes on. It says, he was given the Order of October Revolution, an award given to those to promote the cause of communism. Now, when he came to America, it says his main office was in Moscow, but he set up there in San Francisco. And the entire article quotes from him with George Bush and those about the New World Order. And then it also goes on to say here, that Gorbachev led a Soviet delegation to Canada in 1983, meeting Trudeau and members of the House of Commons and the Senate. And after returning from Canada, the nature of his role began to change. But this is all about this new world order, this sustainability stuff. And, of course, this was to denuclearize the United States. And, of course, what leads from there is the total communist takeover. And every one of these is tied to a Democrat, and as well as the Keating Five and all that.
Well, it's been going on for a very long time. Now, you mentioned Father Coughlin before we went to break. Mm-hmm. Father Coughlin, I guess he was from Royal Oak, Michigan, folks, just a few miles from where I used to live. And Father Coughlin, during the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, was on the radio talking like pretty much I would talk.
Right, 45 million listeners a week.
45 million, and this was a country.
Out of 170 population. Yeah. 170 million population.
Big audience. And people followed this guy, and they understood exactly what he was saying. What do you think they'd be doing to Father Coughlin right now if he was listened by that many people?
Remember, he was attacked when he went after corporate bankers and corporations and bankers. He was instantly labeled anti-Semitic.
Bingo! All right. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem there. And I'll send you this email, okay?
Okay. I'll look for it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Bye.
Well. If Tom D. is listening to the program, I just switched my... I got off of... what is this called? No, I got off of Firefox, went to Internet Explorer, and it works so much better. No, you didn't hear what I just said. I reversed it. By the way, where the hell did you get all these bookmarks? Well, you imported crap that I haven't seen in years. Not all of these. look how long this list is. Oh, it rotates. Okay. Another great feature of Firefox. All right. Roxanne, you can jump in here at any time.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Rox, jeez, what the hell is that? What is that noise, Roxanne?
I don't know. I don't have anything here.
Must be the government taps on your line. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking about Nazis earlier, and if you look up Max Frank Collin, he was the first Nazi party leader here in the United States.
Well, how did we go from communists to Nazis?
Well, you were all mentioning Nazis and stuff, but because this shooter was supposedly a Nazi. Right?
About
Nazi or whatever.
Okay. Maybe Ashkenazi, but he wasn't a Nazi.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but this guy's real name was Max Franks Cohen. So
okay.
He was Jewish. So it's like Bernie Schwartz from the Bronx. It's all smoking mirrors.
Wait a minute. Back up here. So you're telling me, Roxanne, the guy that just went in there and killed, 12 Jews was Jewish himself?
No, but he was supposed to be a Nazi, right?
But you said his real name is, and then you said he's Jewish. Or did I misunderstand you?
No, I said Max Frank Collin was the original Nazi leader party here in the U.S.
Oh.
He's actually still alive. You should get him on the show.
Okay, so the guy that started a Nazi party in America was Jewish.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
Max Frank Cohen was his real name.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, how do you when you have the opposition, what's the best plan? Well, you lead that opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Roxanne, thank you.
Hoodwinked again. Have a good night.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sit here in silence until the co-host decides to talk.
No, I'm just listening. I'm listening.
Well, you can do that by your computer.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, let's come back. You pick another topic. I read a couple articles.
No, when we come back, I'll let you take it. How's that?
Sure.
All right, then. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
John.
Yes. There he is. Hey.
I was wondering, you know, Frank brought up, talked about globalism, George Soros, people like that. And I talked to you today about this. I think Europe is pushing back against the globalist agenda. And I really do think that they actually are finally getting engaged and pushing back against people like George Soros. And I wonder, you know, here we got this. I'm not going to call it a caravan because it's not a caravan. We're being invaded. This is an invasion. These people coming from Honduras. How many more foreigners, illegals, does this country have to take in that are not here to make this country a better place? They're here for financial gain only. How uncomfortable do Americans have to become until they get engaged to push back like Europe is right now? Chancellor's out. She's probably out in the next month. I don't think she's going to go a couple more months. She'll be out in weeks to a month. She'll be gone because the people in the mainstream media has not been reporting this at all. But there has been a big pushback from their immigration coming in and the violence and the crime going up. and their history, their culture is being erased, and they finally said enough of it. I just wonder what the tipping point is here in this country. And screw with the whole PC thing, the political correctness. You're being eliminated. I'm being eliminated. Diversity is white genocide. It flat out is. And I'm okay with legal immigration, but I'm not okay with what's going on now. And like I said, Donald Trump, this is a make or break situation. If he does not stop this invasion, he can kiss off 2020. And that other host on Saturday morning is going to have a lot of, I don't know what he's going to say about why this president will not stand up for the rule of law and enforcement of our immigration law. That just feeds the globalist agenda, like people like George Soros, and we have to stop that. This is America. This is the United States.
What host on Saturday?
It's Saturday. He's Monday through Friday, and he's got a Saturday show too.
No, he's got a Sunday show.
Oh, it's a Sunday? Okay. Yeah, it's right after mine.
I don't know. That'd be a question I think you should ask him, not ask me.
Oh, he and I don't talk anymore. He doesn't like me. But that's okay. I'm cool with that. I ask hardball questions, and I don't like soft answers. And it's a good question. It's a question to ask. Is he going to stop this invasion, John? Is he going to stop it?
I think he is.
You think so? Well, you think 5,000 people are going to stop that? You think 5,000 people with guns, with rubber bullets, may stop this? You think so?
I don't know. Well, Mad Dog Mattis is on the job. And Mad Dog said absolutely nobody is coming over this border inside the United States. Now, okay. Call me silly, but yeah, I think that would be a little bit deterrent of trying to come into the country. But as the question I brought up initially at the beginning of the show is, how are we going to exactly do that?
Right.
Are we going to start shooting them while they're...
That's not going to happen.
Well,
okay. Well, the Democrats would say that just fuels them. That's going to help the Democrat Party. You see, they're going to use this whole situation against them. They want these illegals. They really do. They want them to be voters, future voters in the future for the Democrat Party, no doubt about it. But he can't push back, and he can't harm anybody because that's going to make him look like a ruthless dictator, a person that has no heart. And you made the comment, these people are all showing up saying asylum, asylum. They've all been coached on what to say to get in here. You're going to invite in all these people. You're going to bring in disease. You're going to bring in gang members. You're going to bring all kinds of, as Mike says, when you bring in third world problem people, you bring in third world problems. And that's exactly where we're going down that road of becoming a third world. If he doesn't stop this invasion this time, you've just given the green light for more caravans or invasions, you want to call them that, to come to the United States. This is a serious problem. This is a make or break. He either does it, he does it right, and stops it, or we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble.
Well, and to answer your initial question as to why the American people aren't up in arms, because they're sitting around listening to MSNBC or ABC or CBS or maybe even Fox News, depending on the guest. They don't know. If I had one tenth of the Father Coughlin audience that he had at his peak, many people would know. They would be educated as to exactly what's going on, the who, what, where, why, and how of it all. But see, people like us have always been underfunded. When we do make strides to break out, there's always a gate that's put up, generally financial. Once you get a program on a radio station, it's there for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, and all of a sudden it's deplatformed because, well, we're getting complaints. Well, who are you getting the complaint from? It doesn't matter. They're threatening our advertisers or blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to say that the reason Europe is pushing back right now is because of the people being victimized. We've seen rapes. We've seen murders in the street. We've seen all kinds of stuff in Europe here going on, and they've had enough. And, John, Americans will probably get engaged when they become victims themselves or their children become victims to what's coming.
They already are victims. They just don't know they're being victimized, and that's the problem.
Got it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, let me see. What else is left here on the old agenda?
Well, hold on. I'm not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You told me not to shut up, and then you shut up.
Go ahead.
No. I'm also going to agree with what Frank said. The mainstream media pulled that 2016, the polls, you know, Hillary is so far ahead. I agree with Frank in London. This is going to be the Republicans, the GOP is going to take the House and the Senate. There's not going to be this. They're going to play that same card they did last time. They're going to try to make sure that you don't go to the polls. It's already been called already. It's already in the bag, and they're going to try to use that little ploy they did last time to keep people at home. But I do believe Frank is correct in that the GOP will take the House and the Senate on November 6th.
And do you think this is going to make people feel better?
No, but the alternative, John, is more trouble with the Democrats. And you know, there are no grounds for impeachment. That's a flat out. There's no grounds for impeachment. Just because you don't like somebody, you can't say, I want to impeach the guy. You actually have to have something solid. They've got nothing. But I if it didn't go that way, then they're just going to make more trouble. And, you know, we only have a little bit of time left on this term here. I would like to see him really sink his teeth in and get some things done and not be hindered by another scandal. Because the Democrats, all they're going to do is just – bring up more scandal. We got another one. We got another one. We got another one. I mean, this has been a year, last 2 years of scandal. That's all it's been.
Well, we've had a 2-day news cycle eaten up by the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting.
Yep.
Now, that's a nice little diversion. And what happened in the meantime? Oh, that's right. Military airstrikes, the worst that's been in a long time on Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. Let me see. How many voting days until the 7th? Let me see. That's a week. 29th. Okay, let's just call this the 30th, 31st. 9 days until November 7th. What do you want to make a bet that the caravan really hits the southern border around the 6th or maybe even the 7th?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we had pipe bombs. We got plenty of diverse stories here. We got those phony prop Hollywood pipe bombs that can't go off. And it's so interesting. And the guy in the van, the Trump van, was that interesting that his whole back window was plastered with stickers?
Well, the whole thing was, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, where I go, I get pulled over. You know, why wouldn't this guy get pulled over driving around to say,
because he didn't have a Ron Paul sticker on.
I mean, this doesn't make sense, you know.
Well, they tried to cover it up, and they were driving, and we had endless, it seemed like hour after hour, coverage of the van on the tow truck going down the highway with the blue tarp just about ripping off.
Right.
And they were talking about, well, there were bumper stickers on this guy's car. No, there wasn't anything that you could see through. I mean, this guy was homeless.
Right.
Anything that you could see through from the inside of that van was plastered with some kind of sticker. I mean, it was just, it looked like a collage on the side of the van. I guess they did that because they didn't want to politically taint the story. But, you know, I'm wondering with this guy, what are they going to actually charge him with? Stupidity? Because not one of these bombs could go off and wasn't capable of hurting anybody.
Yeah, you're right. They'll charge him with something.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing that's kind of strange to me that these things were mailed to all of these lefties.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
The only picture we really saw is the one picture, and there was no postmarks on this thing. There was one picture that had a handwritten note that was stuck to it that says postage due. I think it was $1.75 or whatever the case may be. But they said that these things were mailed through the United States Post Office. Not one of them was canceled.
Yeah,
not one of them.
Down here in God's waiting room, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you told me earlier today you were out driving around. What did you see down there?
I saw a law enforcement officer parked out in front of the synagogue.
Was he there to worship?
No, he was there for protection now.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, these, you know, it's funny, when I went to the post office also today, and they always ask, does this package have anything that's combustible?
Brother, or, do they ever.
Yeah, and they ask you all these questions, you have to push the little button and everything, and I'm thinking, this guy lied to them. This guy mailed all those packages off. They lied. I was expecting a whole bunch of new rules at the post office today. Take the box and shake it up a little bit and, you know, throw it up in the air. But they didn't treat it that way. But I sent off 3 packages today.
Well, I mean, you know, folks, I mean, let's be realistic. If you want to be stamped seal of approval by United States government, just get down to your local post office. Don't mail anything by UPS or FedEx or anything else, because they don't have the same stringent standards that our U.S. Postal Service has. Yeah. You know, they've yet to explain that. That here's a guy that mailed. Now, it would have been one thing if they would have showed you a package without a postmark on it and go, whoa, this is what we stopped at the post office. No. The narrative to the story was these were all mailed out. How could they have been?
Yeah.
When they weren't canceled and weren't delivered.
I thought they were actually supposed to. I thought the packages go through some kind of x-ray, don't they, John?
I do not know. I just know that around Christmas time, I tell people that send donations into the network, please wrap it up in foil, because you'll have postal employees holding envelopes up. You know, the ones that Granny sends the grandkids, you know, money for Christmas. If they see money in it, they'll steal it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what their security measures are.
No, I think they do. I think they actually do. You know, what's as funny is when you go through TSA, the scanners at the airport, you can't have any kind of wrapping paper. I mean, they do x-ray, but I'm not sure why you have to take the paper off.
Well,
not that I do that.
You know, they're to the point now that they have the penalty box, the embarrassment box. Mm-hmm. If in case you don't have the right attitude going through the checkpoint, in case you don't answer the questions to their satisfaction or they have questions they want to ask you, you put in the penalty box. But you know what? Don't worry, folks. In a short amount of time, all that gyration and all that frustration is going to be over with, because they're going to face scan all of you. They're going to have your complete dossier background that they have gleaned through the government offices that have taken it from the private companies, the ones that said that they'd never turn information over to the government. The only way we'd do that is through due process, proper, due, lawful process, which was a lie. What you're looking at is the formation of the artificial intelligence being married to the security of our country. So, hey, nobody has to worry anymore. We'll all be safe.
Yeah.
Thomas in Florida. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. I've been listening kind of sporadically to your show. I've been busy in and out. But I called a few days ago, and I was asking if you'd ever heard of a guy called Patrick Little.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever followed up on that or not.
I've been a little busy with being deplatformed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm watching this carefully over the last few months, and I'm an RBNer, and I'm a boomer, you know, I'm older, and I've come to notice a younger group, and they are all, I want to say, under 40, or certainly under 50. I want to say they're in their 20s and 30s, and they're making quite a splash, I think. Here's what's going on. Had you investigated Patrick Little, you would find out that he ran for Senate in California against Feinstein. At one point, he was kicked out of this California GOP in San Diego. He was totally legitimate. They just showed him the door and escorted him off the property. He had an Israeli flag. He said, "I don't bow to any other flag besides the United States." He put it on the ground. He spit on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm saying is, this guy is, okay, he had a serious number of votes out there. He had all kinds of people vote for him, Armenians, Latinos, blacks, because his main goal is he cuts right to the chase. He says, "I am here to name the Jew. I'm here to basically educate the people of all the Jewish crimes against humanity. And ultimately, when we get everybody educated to the right number, we are going to expel them." Okay? I mean, just this is the thing, okay? So now, under him, he has spawned a number of people of about the same age, mid-30s, and they are doing the same thing. And they have formed this thing called the Goyim Defense League, okay? They have T-shirts, et cetera, et cetera. This is getting serious, simply because this fellow, Patrick Little, was actually named as one of these guys, this guy Bauer, who shot the people at the temple there in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It was said that he had reposted a number of Patrick Little's posts Okay? So now they're tying Patrick Little into this guy, even though they have absolutely no connection. Then I saw Trump on YouTube saying, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the extent of, we have to stop the most heinous of crimes, which is anti-Semitism. We need to bring back the death penalty. And, of course, that harkens back to during the Bolshevik Revolution, anybody who was anti-Semitic got a bullet in the head. And if you go on, if you, this whole group of younger people is under the radar of all of us boomers. And I have a whole list here, and if you care to check it out, and once you will find they keep linking to each other. And they are actually a force to be reckoned with, and they are very, they're not as well educated as we are, but they've got enough information to the point where they know what's going
kinda
on.
Kind of like monkeys with machine guns, huh?
Well, no, they're nonviolent. They're completely
okay. Hang on 1 second, Thomas. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
I wished I could get to my email account, but seeing as how I've got 9,000 things in my bookmark, I can't. There we go. Well, you're asking me to sign in now. Okay. Oh, God. Email, phone, or Sky. Oh, God. Here we go again. Steve, take it for a minute here while I try to get my email up.
Okay. Let's see if I can find. Hey, by the way, you sent me those pictures of...
Oh, please don't go into that. That's going to be more of an explanation than you're actually going to give information for.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
All right. I won't do it.
Because nobody has seen them, and luckily, people that are sane have not passed us off as being...
By the way, where'd you get those anyway?
It was sent to me by somebody, I don't know, and I forgot my password to my Hotmail account.
Oh, my God.
It's in Explorer. Well, I don't have time to do an on-the-job training exercise. It's on Internet Explorer. Yeah. Okay. And you think after Tom got done dancing all over my computer? No, I tried to open that and it didn't work. Let's see.
I gotta look this guy up, Patrick Little. I gotta look him up.
Yeah, I don't. Here it's same thing. He did away with all the. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll look at
this. This is important. This Gab, your comp password is incorrect. Gab. Now I can't get into my damn Hotmail. All right. Everything's fixed. God. The only thing I want is continuity. Just one day to the next. Please, God. Can I go to tomorrow? With what was left yesterday, and can I still have it tomorrow? At any rate.
So Gab.com is coming back, correct?
They pulled the servers. PayPal deplatformed them, scolded them, said you violated terms of whatever. And Gab.com, I guess I'm going to have to do this tomorrow, but Gab.com came out and said, folks, we're going to be back up. We've got to find new servers. And they were there to remind everybody that we are not like these other platforms. We believe in the First Amendment. We believe in individual liberty and freedom. And that real freedom in a country that espouses freedom lets people talk. Now, this is obviously in relation to the Pittsburgh shooter. But he came out basically and said, you know, all you Silicon Valley politically correct people, y'all can go to hell. We'll be back. That was the gist of it.
Yeah, I'm going to look this guy up, Patrick Little. I don't know anything about him.
I think he's
called twice on this guy.
I know he has, and I have not jumped at this wonderful chance to interview this guy because... You know what? If you're running for political office and you come out and you're pissing on the Israeli flag, you've already done yourself in before you've made any inroads or even taken a public seat.
Yeah.
He could have. I don't trust it. Anybody that's that stupid, I don't trust.
Yep.
I forgive me for saying a caller, but hello. Sounds like David Duke rebranded him and renamed himself.
Could be. Yeah.
God, just teasing.
Could be.
All right. Boy, this has been a tough week and a bad weekend. I'm looking forward to a better day tomorrow. All right, my friend, I'm out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the true last platforms of freedom of speech until we get shut down. They tried to screw with me. The phone call game came from on high to cancel bank and any commerce that we could do, negotiate a check or anything else. If you can support us, please do. Do it through PayPal off republicbroadcasting.org. We must continue. Let's stay in the fight for another day. Rome wasn't built in a day, but this Rome is going to take a little while to dismantle and put to right. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility? As a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.